There's definitely the physical experience in a store within those four walls and really remapping your customer's journey. It's really sort of remapping how they're parking their car. Are they grabbing onto the door handle? You know, are they wearing gloves? And if so, when do they dispose of those gloves? So really trying to kind of keep that sort of customer journey, that new customer journey in mind, really try and say, this is how I'm going to take the friction out of my customers returning to my store. And how am I going to, you know, keep people safe and keep people satisfied?
It's no secret that the coronavirus is affecting all of us as individuals. But the effect it's having on business, especially small business, is unprecedented. We need a game plan, and fast. If we're going to survive this, we need resources and we need each other. We can't do it alone. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. With my background in economic and workforce development, disaster preparedness, and general business strategy, I know I can help you navigate this scary time in your business and beyond. It's all about resiliency. I'll have the most current solutions and best practices available so we can ensure your business not only survives this crisis, but thrives once we start moving forward again. Co-hosting with me will be my colleague, Sid Varakara, principal of 10-Page Memo. We'll have invited experts to help us navigate through the current noisy landscape of resources and programs that are being made available today and who will be able to prepare us for tomorrow. Let's do this together. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. Welcome to Hack My Business, a podcast designed to help the entrepreneur hack to success by giving you the best tools, tips, and access to experts that can help you to launch and grow your business. My name is Jesse Torres, creator of Hack My Business, and I'm joined by my co-host, Sid Varakara, principal for 10-Page Memo, based in San Diego, for this special episode series, which is focused on helping small businesses impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic get back on their feet and strategize for the future. Sid, how are you doing today?
Hey, Jesse. I'm doing well. But I'll be honest with you. I feel this week like I have a bit of a whiplash.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, I feel like we're getting to a place where we're starting to reopen our economy. And at the same time, we have public health experts still saying that, you know, to your point, the COVID-19 is still raging in some places. So as much as I'm excited about getting people back to work, getting businesses reopened, it's still really hard to, you know, just kind of think about that in the midst of the pandemic. How are you feeling about it?
You know, I feel the same way. You know, I'm here in LA and we still have a pretty high, you know, case count. And there's still a lot of uncertainty as far as how we'll reopen, what's that going to look like. And at the same time, people are itching. You know, they're itching to get to the beaches. They're itching to get to the parks, get out of the sunshine because we've been having, you know, pretty incredible weather. And still, you know, it's just so much uncertainty. You know, is it safe? How do we go about it? What is the experience going to be like? You know, as you return to the businesses, will it be the same, or, you know, is it just going to be this really kind of strange new normal? And so I feel like, you know, and I definitely see, you know, the news coming out of San Diego, where I know you live, and there definitely seems to be this really strong push to reopen and reopen quickly.
There really is. And I think that the public health folks seem to be really on top of it. Like, there's a lot of new testing taking place. We're close to 5,000 tests happening a day, which I think is in line with where I think we need to be in order to reopen. I'll be honest, I just can't wait to go back to my favorite ice cream shop down on the street. I mean, that's really what this is all about for me.
Yeah, me too. Me too, man. I'm with you. Well, you know, I'm really glad that we're able to have a really special guest joining us today. He's a really good friend of mine and someone who I know is going to be able to, you know, answer a lot of burning questions that people have and dive deep into a lot of these issues that we really care about and a lot of small business owners care about. Mark Villalobos, he's a customer experience strategy expert. We're going to talk to him today about customer strategy and the new COVID-19 normal, how you can continue to, you know, what we always like to say, surprise and delight your customers, even in these, you know, really unprecedented times. We're going to get his insights on things like retail store strategy, how businesses can adjust their customer approach during this extraordinary time, the future of store retail, and get his advice on, you know, reestablishing customer trust and relationships. We also have a great question from our audience that we'd like to get his thoughts on and discuss further. But let's go ahead and welcome him. Mark, welcome to Hack My Business.
Hey, Jesse, Sid, how are you? Really, really great to be here. Thanks.
Awesome, man. It's great to have you. I know you're joining us from out there in Illinois, and I'm sure you have a very busy schedule. So, we're just really grateful for you joining us today. One thing we like to do for our show is start with a really quick business hack for our listeners. Something that will help them improve their business processes or strategies. We thought we'd give you the shot and have you share your best business hack for our audience.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, I love the idea of kind of creating and sharing different hacks and different tips that people use in order to really kind of grow their business. And I think that, one of my mentors told me that we're all really great at operating our business, and that we sometimes will not take the time to grow our business. We got into the business because we love what we do, but at the same time, really, it's up to us to really kind of look forward and continue to break new ground and try new ideas and think of new ways to drive revenue or drive loyalty. And so, the hack that I wanted to share was really, really dedicating that time to grow your business, to really truly think about what ideas you can do. And so what I do is I like to get up pretty early, and I'm usually at the office by about 7:30, and between 8 and 9, I really kind of dedicate every single day to my 2 and 5 year growth plans, to really kind of make sure that I'm staying on target, staying on track, talking to people that I need to be talking to, and really trying to explore, trends and make sure I keep my finger on the pulse of really what's going on. But it's just that dedicated time, and then my day kind of goes crazy starting at 9.
I love that. I do something really similar. We're all probably in the same boat. We're all stuck at home, with our families. And in order to get myself some peace and quiet and do some long range thinking, I find myself getting up early, 5:30 a.m., which is, what I found to be my best thinking time. And I do something similar. I spend an hour or, sometimes half an hour just thinking about what are my objectives for the day, what are some of my long term goals. How can I get there? What is the strategy I'm actually going to try to deploy even now or during this really weird time? But I like spending that time in the morning when I just have it by myself, with a hot cup of coffee and start thinking about that. Sid, do you do anything similar?
No, I'm asleep when you both are doing that. But I totally agree. I mean, actually, it is funny. You two both do it early in the morning. I do it when I take my dog for a walk. And I'm having those conversations, just thinking through what's the next step for me, and how do I just kind of like build on where I am. So I think it's a great piece of advice, Mark, to like kind of share where you how you do it. And I think like too often we're just so stuck in the moment and doing the day-to-day work that whatever it is, whether it's for me walking my dog or Jesse having a cup of coffee in the morning, just having that time to just, think through the big picture is so critical.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, it doesn't matter what time of day, man. So feel free to use the time when you're walking your dog. But Mark, you have a really extensive professional background, and I won't give all the details about it, but I did want to give people a sense of some of your professional expertise here. So I know right now, you're serving as the Director of Strategy and Transformation at Sears Holding Corporation. I probably know you best for your many years at the Disney Company, where you're doing a tremendous amount of work around customer experience, the Disney stores. But and just looking at your CV, let's say you have at least 25 years of executive leadership and customer experience expertise. Is there anything that you would like to highlight as far as your background and maybe chat a bit about, what kind of led you to that kind of work?
Sure. I've been actually very fortunate that a number of these, my career has somewhat shifted from, working initially with a startup, a retail startup in the baby and children's clothing space. And it gave me an opportunity to really sort of, learn a bunch of different processes from inventory management to supply chain to finance and all of those things. And it was a relatively small operation, but it really sort of paid dividends when it came to really understanding what it took to really kind of satisfy folks. And our satisfaction, our kind of customer satisfaction is one of those sort of hallmarks that Disney has, as one of its sort of key sort of attributes. And so I was able to kind of parlay some of the experience that I had in the smaller business to really understanding that discerning customer, that discerning guest who had, you know, fairly high expectations of sort of what Disney should do and how Disney should operate, and, you know, was able to sort of listen to, understand, empathize, and then really kind of deliver on some of those key experiences that they were sort of looking for. And so that has really sort of been the hallmark of my career, is really sort of understanding, you know, what people are looking for, listening to them, getting their feedback, and then using that feedback in order to really sort of develop new and innovative sort of solutions to really kind of create that memorable experience.
So, Mark, you really have this unique experience, expertise, really, when it comes to store opening strategy and floor retail. I'd love to learn more about what kind of decision-making and critical choices you think go into a successful store opening. And frankly, just like, and then personally, you know, are there any particular projects that you're most proud of?
Yeah, so store opening, that's a huge responsibility and huge undertaking. It's one of those sort of, you get one shot at a first impression kind of thing. And, you know, your brand, you know, with the Disney brand, you really have an opportunity to, you know, people know who it is and they have a certain expectation. But if you're new to the market, if you are a small business, you know, your opening is something that you should definitely tailor to the audience that you are inviting to your opening. And so some of the examples that I can share are, you know, when we were opening the Disney store down in Culver City, what used to be called the Fox Hills Mall, you know, that opened in 2010, early 2010, and the movie The Princess and the Frog had come out in 2009, in December of 2009, and the character of Princess Tiana had never been outside the walls of Disneyland at that point, but we were fighting really hard because we knew she was a fan favorite of the folks who were in that market. And so, you know, we really kind of, you know, struggled, fought hard, but we were able to, we were the very first place that Princess Tiana actually came out, stepped outside of the theme park in Anaheim, and really kind of met fans at the mall there. In Puerto Rico, we had an opening where we invited Felix Tito Trinidad, who is actually a boxing champion, a Puerto Rican boxing champion. He had five daughters, all of which we outfitted with sort of, you know, Disney princess gowns and crowns and wands and things of that nature. And it was culturally relevant, obviously wonderful in photographs. And, you know, at that time, there wasn't a whole bunch of social media, but we definitely milked it for as much as we could. And really, like, you know, Kmart, we opened in Brooklyn, and, you know, we had a Juvet festival. You know, there was a very high West Indian population. And so we brought out the colors, and we brought out the dancers, and we really kind of, you know, brought local music and really kind of some cultural flavor to the celebration. And so it's very much understanding the audience that you are, you know, trying to attract, and really kind of showing that, you know, you're not just sitting on high somewhere and making random decisions. You're really going into the market, studying it, understanding it, and really doing your best to really kind of match that opening to that particular client base.
That's awesome. And did you have a team of people that helped you with that? Or, you know, how did you, you know, yeah, you know, what was your role?
Right? I feel like he just did all of that, actually. Yeah, Jesse.
Yeah. Or maybe he just cut the ribbons, you know?
No. Yeah. So, no. You know what? Our employees, a lot of times, are who we count on to give us that information and to give us that intelligence. And so, you know, a long time ago, I learned that there's nothing like boots on the ground, sort of like firsthand information and intelligence. And that's something that we sort of use. And trust me, there's a lot of ideas that get tossed out. Either they're, you know, not brand relevant, or perhaps not going to, you know, be the right fit. But for the most part, you know, you can usually find something that checks most of the boxes. And that's a great thing when it happens.
That's great. I'm sure we've talked about this in the past. You know, Mark and I, we go way back. We both went to Pepperdine. We were both very much involved with the Hispanic Alumni Council.
Yes.
Yeah, long ways. And I'm sure we talked about this, but, you know, my dad, he actually had a barbershop for many years. And one thing I remember just from watching him operate that business is, in the end, the importance of repeat customers, right? Of really creating an environment that encourage people to come back. And you know, you really only get one shot when it comes to a new customer. You're the expert. You know, what do you think are some of the key factors that go into converting someone from a one-time visitor to a lifelong customer, Mark?
Ooh, that's a big question. And there's a lot of, you know, so the textbook answer is going to be obviously, you know, quality of, you know, what you're delivering, consistency of experience, you know, folks kind of understand this is what they're going to see or hear or taste, you know, when they kind of come, you know, service levels. But the smaller things are, I think, really kind of what becomes really important. And it's really about treating folks with dignity and respect and welcoming them into your business and really making an attempt to develop that relationship and develop that that trust with them. I mean, in this time, you know, the post COVID-19 era is really going to be all about reestablishing trust, that, you know, you've got their best interests at heart. You are so excited that they've selected to come back to you, and that you're going to give them the time and give them what they are looking for and what they've missed for so long. And I think that, you know, it's really about, again, reestablishing, you know, your mailing list, you know, really kind of reestablishing your social media presence to really make sure that you are meeting your customers where they would like to get their information. You know, you've got regulars. You've got people who have missed your food, have missed your company, your smile, you know, all of those things. And it's very important to really kind of recreate that sort of first impression and really sort of welcome those folks back. Let them know how much you appreciate them selecting you and coming back and spending time with you, and give them the time and give them the service that they, you know, that they desperately missed for so long. You know, Disney has a saying that says, and it's really rooted in the theme parks, and it's take a child by the hand and take a parent by the heart. And that really kind of speaks to when a child asks a cast member in the Disney theme park a question, that the cast member always will go down to that child's level. They will always crouch down and really sort of look them right in the eye and answer that question like it's the most important question they're going to hear all day. And then a lot of times the answer might have to, you know, you might need to lead that child to a different part of the park. And it's very important to, you know, hold out your hand to see if they will take your hand, and you walk them to where they are looking to go. And this makes children feel extremely important and extremely special, and it makes parents just feel like, you know, they've just won the lottery. I mean, it's really, really small and very minute but very critically important factor and feature that is really sort of taught. And we, you know, I teach this at Kmart, I teach this at Sears, that it's very critically important to instill those very small qualities into those interactive moments when you have a chance to really interact with a child, because it does engage that customer with your brand so much more strongly. And so those are just small things, and there's a lot of other things that you can do, but small things that really help to really kind of make some, you know, turn an everyday sort of occurrence into a memorable one.
Mark, that example of how Disney looks at the experience is so special. Actually, as a parent myself, I can totally visualize that experience that you're describing. But as you shared, like, we're moving into a new world reality after COVID-19. So I'm curious what looks different, if anything, but where do you think we are headed in this new post COVID-19 reality with the experience in mind that you've just shared? And I mean, I guess as one extreme example is, like, do you think we've seen the last of the Black Friday crowd stampede?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm an optimist. You know, I'm really hoping that we're going to beat this thing and we're going to, you know, get the vaccine and do all those things. But it is never going to be the same. And I think that, you know, people are coming out of this with a little bit of this PTSD. And a little bit of, and it's gonna vary from person to person, from generation to generation. It really is something that we need to sort of recognize and be cognizant of. And really, you know, as business owners, we really need to take a leadership position. There's a lot of things that you're doing that we're, you know, that you're reading about temperature checks and about wiping down, you know, high touch areas and having the sanitizers and things of that nature. And I think all of those things are important, but it's also important for really you to, you know, to really kind of you know figure out what is your brand stand for and what is it that you can go above and beyond and really kind of showcase how you're really taking care of folks and how you're able to continue to express gratitude and express that empathy, you know, with them and welcome them back into your businesses. I'm reluctant to think, you know, I hesitate. I mean, I saw a report today that some cafe in Germany is having customers wear these hats with like pool noodles like attached to them, and so they're not supposed to touch one another's pool noodles, which is really kind of like, I'm praying that somebody doesn't give me one of those hats at some point if I want a cup of coffee at Starbucks. But I mean, it is that reality that we just need to, you know, there are going to be ideas that are going to probably seem ridiculous, but at the same time they are going to show that you care about the safety and health of your customers. And as goofy as that is, hey, it's making news, and I'm sure that cafe is going to get some great business, you know, out of that kind of wacky idea. So, you know, it is something that, you know, you want to put your brand's stamp on the safety and security of your customers.
That's great. You know, I think one of the big challenges, Mark, is that, you know, businesses, there just seems to be a real significant uncertainty of how to best move forward. I mean, you're seeing this really kind of disparity around the country as far as what are the best recommendations. You know, how do you open safely? How do you do it correctly? People are just uncertain about what exactly they need to do to help provide best service to their customers. You know, what are your recommendations around that? You know, how should business owners be thinking about those kind of protocols? You know, is there a resource that you go to? And what do you think should be on their mind as they think about reopening?
So I definitely think, you know, I'm going to look at you, Jesse, and that sort of biz tools resource that you sort of helped create. I think that is something that is desperately needed, and that's information. Information is critical in this particular time. You know, luckily places like Nielsen and LinkedIn and other places are offering what is in other times, you know, things that you have to pay for. They're offering it for free. And, you know, there's a lot of folks who are doing the research on how people are feeling, how much confidence they have going into this sort of like post-pandemic society. And you're seeing a lot of this hesitation and a lot of this fear. And it's something that I believe that, you know, you want to be cognizant of it. You know, this advent of wearing masks, the mouth is our most expressive facial feature. The smile is the universal sort of like language of happiness or satisfaction. And, you know, with masks, nobody can see that. And so it becomes important for people to enunciate their words, speak a little bit louder, really try and be as expressive as they possibly can using their eyes and their eyebrows and things. And it sounds kind of weird that we have to talk about that, but, you know, a cashier whose sort of, you know, voice is now muffled and she's standing behind a plexiglass sort of window, it makes, you know, people of a certain age, perhaps, you know, it's tough for them to hear. And so they're going to be leaning in. They're going to say, excuse me. And, you know, you've got to be patient and you've got to understand that, you know, this is part of adapting your brand, adapting your delivery of your experience so that people feel that warmth, they feel that empathy, and they feel that sense of welcome. And so all of these things are new, but there are things that we can all be leaders in. We can all really recognize that this is sort of how we want to, you know, how my brand is going to move forward.
So that is a really good way for us to think about how we rethink the entire customer experience, Mark. I mean, just your idea around the mask and our mouth. Our mouth is truly, you're right, the most physical way to express how we feel. And I'm curious, based on just how you just described the warmth question and how do businesses rethink the way that the customer experience looks like, I'd love for you to just expand on other tips and strategies that you would recommend for small business owners out there thinking about this exact same question.
Sure. No, yeah, no problem. So, you know, to me, you know, there's definitely the physical experience in a store within those four walls and really remapping your customer's journey. It's really sort of remapping, you know, how they're sort of parking their car. Are they grabbing onto the door handle? You know, when are they, you know, are they wearing gloves? And if so, when do they dispose of those gloves? So really trying to kind of keep that sort of customer journey, that new customer journey in mind as you sort of add things like garbage cans next to the cart corral at the Walmart, because, you know, there's a, and because there's gloves that are like left in the parking lot because people have just finished, you know, touching the cart. And all of these things are what you have to sort of reimagine and really put some focus around and really try and say, this is how I'm going to take the friction out of my customers returning to my store. Is it a store? Is it a restaurant? You know, is it a ballet studio? Like, what is it? And how am I going to, you know, keep people safe and keep people satisfied? So, you know, you see these images of gyms that have these large plexiglass sort of walls in between the treadmills and things of that nature. And that's just, you know, is that a foolproof plan? Probably not. But does it make me feel like the owner of that gym cares a little bit more about me and my health? Yes. And so if that's what it is, even though that's an investment, that investment is something that is going to be, it's worth making. The other piece is, you know, really look at your employees. You've got to advocate for them. You've got to print the signs with the rules to really try and help them to be able to sort of stand by and be able to enforce the rules. And, you know, if the rule is you must wear a mask, that should be not just, hey, where's your mask? It should be a sign that states, for the safety and security of others, all, you know, everyone must, you know, wear a mask before they're allowed to enter. And so, you know, helping security sort of like be on the lookout for folks who are sort of breaking the rules and really asking them nicely, but really sort of bringing those protocols to life before they happen, anticipating that somebody will probably break it and therefore having a plan how to handle it once it's being broken. So it's all of these things that are going to sort of kind of like be new operational processes and new operational procedures, really trying to kind of like, you know, like you said, pivot to really adapt to this new reality. So there's definitely opportunities for small businesses to, you know, reap a good deal of benefits. This sort of notion of, I know who you are, I've missed you, I'm welcoming you back. You know, here's an opportunity to sit with you, to listen, to hear about your grandkids, to hear about your kids, to hear about your pets, you know, really giving people, you know, the time that they so desperately have missed. So really catching up with folks, really trying to sort of balance that sort of conversion with conversation. People are desperate for conversation. They've been watching television. They've been talking to people on the phone. This is their first opportunity to come back, sit across from somebody, and just sort of like share a nice, deep, meaningful conversation. Allow your employees to have those conversations. You know, really try and give folks that opportunity to reconnect with you, reconnect with your brand, and really sort of build that friendship and that relationship. I think the other piece that, you know, we really have to kind of look at is your marketing plan. Get credit for all these things that you're doing. You're investing in these plexiglass walls. You're investing in all of this sort of safety and removing friction from the experience. Talk about it. Really sort of like, you know, make it a post, you know, on your social media page. Make that part of your, you know, your advertising, and really try and, again, build that trust and make that something that people are going to know you for and you become known for, someone who really cares deeply about the customers that come through your door. I think that there are also with this new sort of stay at home and, you know, everybody sort of being within their, you know, the confines of their home, you know, look at what is, how is local radio sort of doing in your area? Local radio is something that has really kind of witnessed a really spike in listenership. People are listening to the radio more, especially sort of the Latino consumer is listening to more radio. So perhaps really rethinking where is your, where should you be advertising? Where should you be putting your marketing dollars? And really try and see if, has this pandemic changed people's habits or changed people's, you know, lifestyles? And how can you make sure that you're adapting your marketing, your messaging, your advertising to those particular lifestyles?
Thanks so much, Mark. You know, definitely a lot to think about and to consider. But I love all your tips and suggestions there. I think a lot of folks are going to really adopt them and think about how they can incorporate them into their business strategy. You know, we did have an opportunity to reach out to our audience and ask for some of their thoughts and questions in regards to this customer experience strategy topic. And we received a few responses, but there was one in particular that we wanted to pose to you and get your thoughts on. This comes from Raphael out of Los Angeles. And he asks, considering consumer trends, the varying habits by different age groups, and the need for an online presence, how does a retailer balance the management of their brick and mortar operation and online presence and sales? Is this the reality that now they're one and the same? And I know that's a big question, but you know, we thought you would have some really great insights into approaching that.
Wonderful question. Thank you, Raphael. Really, definitely a great question. The online and retail sort of symbiotic relationship definitely has to get stronger. There are a number of people trying new technologies for the very first time. I will say that, you know, about a year and a half ago, a young lady inside of a Chase bank branch changed my life when she actually helped me download the Chase Pay app onto my phone. It was like a game changer. And it really helped me to kind of move into this sort of contactless payment lifestyle that I have been enjoying ever since. But yeah, it was, you know, I'm slightly older. So, you know, it's not necessarily kicking and screaming, but definitely I was reluctant to really kind of move into that era. But once there, it helped me tremendously. And now, you know, with the desire to not touch as many, you know, as many surfaces and things of that nature, it really comes in handy. So you having the ability to help your customers really sort of advance into this sort of technology and not just tell them about how to order on your website or how to sort of place a order ahead of time and do curbside pickup, but really showing them, really giving them something for doing it for the first time. You know, if they are trying something for the first time, give them a reward. You know, toss in an extra few egg rolls or, you know, an extra bagel or whatever it is. Something that is going to show your appreciation for your customers really sort of evolving and including you in this evolution. You know, it is something that folks are trying for the very first time, DoorDash and Grubhub and Uber Eats and things of that nature. And so, you know, and to varying degrees of success. I mean, there, I've heard horror stories and I've heard things that are, you know, that are, you know, are life-changing. And so, you know, as people are required to adapt, really sort of kind of map out your strategy for how you are going to kind of leverage this. Because, you know, we want to plan for this happening again. I think everybody sort of got a pass. It's like, oh my God, it happened. It's the beginning of March and everybody go home and stay home. And, you know, everybody sort of stumbled and moved forward sort of slowly. But I think where we're going to win is having a plan that is firm, that was tested, that is, you know, that our folks, that our customers enjoy and are using. And, you know, so if this, unfortunately, God forbid, happens again, you know, you can turn on that switch and you can kind of like get it going and limit your business interruption going forward.
I totally agree, Mark. And I can share with you that, you know, one great experience that we had recently was, you know, we take a weekly trip to a local tea shop, you know, get the Bobo drinks and the smoothies for the kids. Yeah, right. And we were having a little bit of an issue with their online ordering system. And what was great is that the owner
actually came out and to chat with us, you know, obviously safely social distancing, but he really wanted to understand like what made it a challenge to use, how could he improve it. And even just that moment really just made us think like, wow, this guy really cares. He really wants to make this an easy process. He's clearly thinking about, you know, the safety of his customers and his employees by taking that extra step of actually coming out to talk to us and try to get a sense of how he can improve. So that was really great to see.
You know, Jesse, I have to tell you like that I have been a germaphobe my entire life. So Mark, to your point about like, you know, where do you, you know, grab a door handle or what, like where are you touching surfaces? That has been something that's like, I'm that person who's constantly thinking about that. So I actually think that the world is actually finally catching up with me. And so I'm just like thrilled to think that businesses are actually thinking about me and times X of all of their customers, frankly.
There you go. You're in the upper percentile.
That's right.
Mark, it was so great to have you on the show. What's the best way for people to reach you if they have a need for additional advice or insights?
Oh, by all means. My email is m.mylastnamevillalobos@gmail.com. All my contact information is on my LinkedIn profile page. So usually direct folks to LinkedIn. Please connect with me. I love connecting with people, love connecting with entrepreneurs, especially a lot of small business folks. You know, and if you have any further questions, do not hesitate to reach out.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you are a California business owner seeking out resources and support, we encourage you to visit our website, COVID19biztools.com, which provides a comprehensive listing of grants, programs, and services for COVID-19 impacted businesses that are currently being offered by federal, state, and local entities. You can also visit COVID19biztools.com to let us know what topics you'd like us to cover for future episodes through the contact page on the website. We hope you have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hack My Business.